There is no greater thing in the world than loving Jesus. And he can surprise us in the way that he loves us back. Especially when sometimes when we ask him something and we are persistent and yet he seems silent. Almost as though he doesn't care. But he does. Because he wants us to grow, to know him more. And we're going to hear about this in our scripture reading from Matthew 15. Although it's not going to be taken literally from the Bible that you have under your seats. It's going to be acted out. Because in this scenario, there are other people in the story. So let's hear what happens.
She didn't belong here. I knew it, and the rest of us knew it. We were just sitting down to dinner when she barged in. The dogs woke up barking madly, and they set off one of the children, who started to cry. I jumped up immediately to confront this dishevelled, dirty woman who was making her way to where Jesus was. John, who was sitting near the door, also leapt up, barring her way.
Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession.
Jesus' master must have heard her over the noise of the two dogs and the child, but he never said a word. He didn't even look up from his plate. By this time, me and John had been joined by three others. The woman struggled a bit, but she didn't have a chance. Hauling nets gives a person a lot of strength, and she was outnumbered. We got her outside even more quickly than a bouncer gets a drunk out of a tavern. But let me tell you, once outside, she caused just as much trouble as a drunk does.
She was loud. She was insistent. She kept on saying to us that she had to see the miracle worker, that her daughter was in terrible shape, and that she needed help. I tell you, she was a real pain and definitely not one of us. I just wanted to get back inside for dinner.
I tried to reason with her. Look, I said, you have no right to be here. You've got no right to bother the teacher. You're a foreigner, and you don't believe in anything we believe in. Your people are Gentiles, heathens, and your behaviour shows it, shouting and screaming like this. There is no way Jesus is going to see or help you. Go away.
You know what she did? That wretched woman just shook her head and said,
I'm not going anywhere. I know he will help me. He's got to help me.
Look, I said, go away. We've told you that you are not welcome here. We've told you that Jesus isn't going to have anything to do with your type. So why don't you just get lost?
All that noise was giving me a headache. The more we said to her, the louder and more persistent she was. She cried, she begged, she screamed, and by gum she could scream, woke up the whole neighbourhood. After a few minutes of this, an idea popped into my mind. Why don't we ask Jesus to tell her to go away? After all, he didn't seem to want to speak to her the first time, so why should anything change? I mentioned the idea to the others, and they agreed. As soon as I opened the door to go in, the dogs began barking again. Someone hissed at them to be quiet as I went over to Jesus. He was sitting with the child who had cried earlier, talking with her as though nothing had happened. I had to admire his pastoral touch.
Excuse me, Jesus, I said, butting in. Could you tell this woman to go away? She is extremely annoying, wailing like a banshee, and her language could turn the air blue. Jesus looked at me and then her, and said,
I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel.
Well, that seemed to be it. A straight answer or so, I thought. Suddenly the woman broke loose and ran to Jesus' side and fell at his feet on her knees.
Lord, help me.
I didn't do a thing. I figured after what he had said, Jesus would handle it just fine, and he did. Jesus looked round the room for a moment, then at the child beside him, who was busy eating a piece of bread as if nothing untoward had happened, and the dogs nuzzling around under the table. It became very quiet in the room, and all eyes were on Jesus, the woman, the child, and the dogs, as if time had stood still. Then Jesus looked at the woman and said to her,
"It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs."
A couple of the disciples smiled. I must confess that I grinned too. It was a well-chosen response, the kind that only Jesus could come up with. Point made as far as I was concerned, and that would be the end of her appeal. I caught James looking at me and began to nod my head at him. As I did so, the woman looked up at Jesus and stared him in the eyes.
"Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table."
I was stunned. The woman really was too much. Lippy, rude, obnoxious, unclean, disrespectful. I could go on.
If I hadn't seen it, I couldn't have believed what Jesus did next. He smiled at her as if it was some great contest of wits and said to her,
"Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Go home. Your daughter is healed."
I can't understand it. I mean, why in the world did Jesus do that? She did not belong here.
She was not one of us. She was nothing but a Canaanite, and Jesus knew it. I knew it, and the rest of us knew it. I just don't understand Jesus sometimes.
We'll sing again. She came to Jesus from outside the fold. Now the tune, you will recognise this, which is to "Be Thou My Vision." But these words do fit that song, but they reflect the reading that we've just listened to.